Hey everybody, it's Rob. We're waiting on Rich, but I just wanted to take the time to thank everyone for listening and thanks for being patient. It's been a while because we've both been busy, but mainly Rich has been busy directing and flying all over the world, and I guess I've been doing a bit of traveling as well. Anyway, we're back in the same city. I've got him for a half an hour today, so it's going to be a little bit shorter podcast, and that's why I thought I'd come on first while I'm waiting for him, because let's be honest, that's what's happening here. I'm in the waiting room waiting on him on our Zoom to begin, but I wanted to come on and say hey and thank you for being patient and for listening to our podcast, because you don't have to do that, and you're doing it. And we appreciate it. And a special shout out to our Patreon people, the Alex, as well as the Billies, for being members of the Patreon. You don't have to do that, and you do, and we really appreciate it. You know, I've started doing this thing where I write down just thoughts or something I read or something I hear, and this is not going to become a thing because we did this, the Rob and Rich podcast. It's not Rob telling you his thoughts. But I just thought, again, I have this moment with you. We never have this moment. So I'm going to tell you, this is a thought that I had this last week that I wrote down in my notes app. If you listen to the Supernatural Then and Now podcast, you know that I've got a notes app that I use quite often to write little notes about something. In that case, it's episodes of Supernatural, but in this case, it's just Rob thoughts. The Rob thought of the day is, don't take it so seriously. Don't take everything so seriously. Sometimes you need to take something seriously because it's serious, but sometimes it's not that serious. Find the humor in it. Find the humor in it. And then maybe, just maybe, you'll ease your stress. There you go. Rob's thought of the day. And now with that, let's get on to our podcast, shall we?
Hey, hey, what's going on? Rob and Rich are the kings of con.
Hey, Rich, is that a new, what am I looking at? What room are you in?
I'm in the office.
Did you paint it?
Oh, yeah. JC painted it. Yeah, she did. She painted it green.
And she
took my map off the wall.
Took the map off the wall.
Yeah.
Were you and Frank disappointed to lose the map?
A little bummed. But in her defense, the room was in dire need of painting. It had been like when we put that on the wall, it was sort of a spontaneous school project, right? And during COVID. Mm-hmm. And we didn't really look at the wall. The wall was kind of a mess. It like different coats of paint and different old, like, it's all, it, you know, we didn't think it out. We're going to put it back on.
Well, that's good. So it's going back on. It's going back on.
It's going back on. Yeah.
All right. Lots of questions. So that happened. That's big news. I'm surprised you didn't tell me that to expect that.
I didn't tell you about the wall being painted because, honestly, I didn't know how you would react. And I wasn't really prepared for the emotional cleanup. You know what I mean?
That's fair. Yeah, no, that's fair. That's fair. Speaking of emotional cleanup, we just recorded a podcast. This is the season 3 finale of the Supernatural podcast.
It's called Supernatural Then and Now. If you're not listening, come on now.
Come on now, guys. So we just recorded that, and it's 420, birthday of Ruth Connell.
Birthday of Chris Schmelke.
Chris Schmelke, Creation's own photographer, Chris Schmelke. Birthday of Weed. Weed was invented on this day several thousand years ago.
Birthday of Weed. Man, are you tired? Let's just get to it. I'm so tired. I am so tired.
Why?
Well, we just wrapped Dead Boy Detectives yesterday, and I just got home last night.
Dude, of course.
And you'd say that, but I was only back there shooting. It's flying across the country takes it out of me, dude. Like,
also, dude, yeah, and also the convention. We had a convention in New Jersey last weekend, and the conventions, you forget because you haven't been at a couple in a row.
God,
it slays you,
dude.
It does. It slays you.
And
it's
so
exhausting.
Michael Borja, bass player of Loudon Swain, and I took a red eye from Los Angeles, California to Jersey. Mm-hmm. And that right there takes it out of you because you never get a night's sleep on a red eye.
New Jersey or old Jersey?
The new one. We went to the new one.
Okay. Okay.
The upgrade. Okay. You never get a good night's sleep on a red eye, even if you're, you know.
No, red eye is, come on.
Seat.
Red eye is, that's why they call it a red eye, Rich. If you got a good night's sleep, they call it a white eye.
That's true. That's right. They call it
a clear eye.
You're on the relax
eye.
Leg, but that's what they call it. Yeah, man. So it's that. And then do the convention nonstop for 3 days, which is always fun, but also exhausting.
Exhausting.
And then you do, then I flew straight to Vancouver, landed at 1 a.m, and then started at 6 a.m. the next day. And I just get tired.
And you worked two days in a row. I mean, I didn't have the luxury. I'm in the industry, what you call unemployed. So but I was toast.
Wait a minute. What does the industry call that?
Unemployed.
What does that mean from in an industry sort of standpoint? Because that's a lot of technical jargon. I don't
understand. Right. It really, when it comes down to it, it's no one will hire you.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, that's nice. By the way, that literally is such a Benedictine translation of...
Yeah, that's all I know. It's the Benedictine translation of being between jobs. Yeah. I'm between jobs right now in a cesspool that all actors of my ilk go through. I'm lucky enough to be a working actor, but between jobs is my least favorite time.
Really?
Being an actor, yeah.
I would think you would get tired of the ho hum of being on set and doing your.
You joke, but I'm. There are some actors that don't love that feel like it's going to work and they'd rather not be working. I'm not one of those people.
What? Okay. All right. I've been at this for a few months. I've been doing this for a while, and so have you. What actors do we know that are friends of ours who are actors who's. They're like, well, whatever happens, I hope I don't have to act this week.
No,
like,
it's not that. It's not that. I'm not going to name names, but I've known people through the years that were that are great at getting the job, great auditioners, but they don't love actually being on a set. You know what I mean? People are like, man, it's boring on a set, or it's this, or it's that. You know what I mean?
All right, I don't want you to name names. Just tell me who you're talking about.
No, I can't. I'm not going to, because it slanders those people. But the people that just don't love... being on set, that they find it boring, or you know,
that makes no sense. I hear you, but
I know
no
I'm not that person. Anyway, I do love working, and it's always a struggle. But I have to say, at the same time, when I do get a job, that's when you really appreciate your time off. As much as I love being on the set, you also it's a job, so they go, you know, you belong to us for the next several weeks. And then you're like, oh man, last Tuesday when I had absolutely nothing. That was actually, I should have been happier about that.
No, you know what? I think I'm busier. I think I'm more productive when I'm busy. I'd be totally honest with you. Because I wake up, I get my emails done, then I'm off to set. You know, I feel like if I have all day to do stuff, I drag it out into an all-day affair. I'm not as efficient.
Well, and that's the Richard Spade of it all. That's you in a nutshell. I've been with you in those days. It's true. That's why you're so good at when you've got something. That's why you want to be the focus of whatever Richard Spade is doing, because he gives it 110%.
Because of my OCD.
Yeah. And that's why if the thing you're doing is laundry, then that's going to get 110% from you.
You're not wrong.
The towels
really perk up when I come home.
And that's the only thing these days.
Yeah.
that perks up when you're home.
That's for sure.
I struggle with my, you know, I have the problem where I have so much so many creative things I want to be working on that I get overwhelmed. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yes.
I'm working on this script. I'm, you know, writing the song. I'm getting ready for this job or have an audition. Like, it's really hard for me to focus my energy on just one thing.
Yeah, and I think I only do that when I have a job. Meaning like, you know, mm-hmm. I think I don't do that. I think during my normal life, I become really so ensconced in the three boys and getting them to and from and sort of taking some of the weight off JC that she experiences in, you know, astronomical force when I'm gone, that I sort of immediately come in and start going, okay, we're going to this, that, and the other, and we're going to, you know, I'm going
to... Totally. And it used to be that way with me, but now that the kids are older, I mean, I'm Audrey's Uber driver, but besides that, they're on their own, you know, they're very independent.
Yeah. 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 No, I get it. I know. I don't have that. My kids are still in the trenches and I just feel, so I don't come home and go, all right. Cause I don't have a band. Like you have other sort of extraneous outside, creative things going on.
Yeah. Trying.
Yeah. It's a trip. Yeah. But all that to say, season one of Dead Boy Detectives is in the can.
That's exciting.
Yeah, it was fun. It was fun doing a couple of scenes. Scenes yesterday were super cool. Was it yesterday? No, 2 days ago. 2 days ago.
And that was the very, very last day of production?
It was. And it just a little piece of trivia. I can't go into detail, but I think it's fascinating that the very last scene I shot was from the pilot, which means the last thing to be finished on Dead Boy Detectives was the pilot.
Wow.
First episode was last to be done.
Wow. That's crazy. I told Ruth about your hat, that they gave you a hat.
Yeah, that hat was cool.
She didn't get a hat. She's
no,
got a bit in.
It's from the AD. The actors didn't get those hats. They're from the AD. They were for the assistant directors made their own hats.
Yeah.
They do so out of their own pocket. Like, it's a nice little thing they do. And
yeah.
I literally had already seen a couple of ADs wearing those and just assumed... You know, I didn't even ask because I'm like, those are the ADs.
Yeah.
Assistant directors is what that stands for. And which really doesn't mean they assist the director. It means they live there and they run the scheduling and organization of the shoot days. And then directors come in and do their thing. Anyway, I just never even thought to think about that hat. And then Sarah walked up to me, first AD, and she said, "We have a hat for you." And
that's
I
amazing.
Literally was like, "Oh my God, that's the coolest hat ever. I'm not just jerking your chain. I've had hat envy. I wouldn't have even dared think about this hat, and now you're handing me this hat." And they did a really cool thing with the logo, and it's really cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. And listen, if you don't know what we're talking about, it's a show called Dead Boy Detectives, starring Ruth Connell, that Richard is directing. And I think people are really going to love this show. You've seen a ton of it. I've seen almost nothing. But what I have seen, it looks like an epic show.
It's stylized. It's interesting. It's cool. It's based on a graphic novel that Neil Gaiman has his hands in. And it's
right.
Created by Steve Yockey, who was a great writer in Supernatural. And then went off to great success to create The Flight Attendant.
You're buzzing.
Steve is the showrunner here, along with Beth Schwartz,
Beth
had decades of success on Arrow. So it's just a great team people doing great stuff.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
Awesome.
A bit of a spinoff, or I don't know if you could call it a spinoff, but
yeah,
companion piece to Sandman.
Yeah.
You know, kind of in that same universe. Anyway, it's very cool. On Netflix. Robert froze when I said Netflix.
No,
isn't it weird that we're glitchy? Like, we literally been online all morning with no glitches, and now we're in Glitchville.
Yeah, it's very strange. It makes me think that there's, I don't know.
Should we stop, like, pause and reload?
I mean, you only have 10 more minutes.
That's right. We won't reload. But listen, glad to be doing a podcast. I mean, we do the Supernatural Then and Now podcast. That's remarkable what I don't remember from a season of TV that I just watched. Trying to recap that was like, good Lord, I don't have any recollection of these things.
It's amazing how little we remembered.
We got there, didn't we?
We got there. Eventually, we got there.
It was a bit of a struggle. A bit of a scrap.
What's funny, because we have a list. Producer Steve sends us a list.
Yeah.
And it's episode title, the guest we had on the podcast, and like a half a sentence... summary.
It still didn't ring any bells for me, some of that stuff.
It rang no bells. We're just reading verbatim what he wrote and then going, uh-huh. Yeah, that was the one with the demon.
So you're May. You know, this. You have a May, talking about being tired of travel. For a fella who's not employed, which you say you're not, we'll see about that. Uh-huh. But your May is wall to wall, dude. Like, you have one of those Mays where you are not going to be in the United States at all, really.
Yeah, I know. I have a bang my head against the wall May.
But you, now I know that you, part of your bit, part of your comedy gold is being the frustrated guy. They're like, look what I got to do. But you built this schedule. Like, you're in the band. You guys are doing the tour. You know what I mean?
I didn't build it. I didn't build it, but I said I'd go.
Come on.
I had very little to do with building it, but I said I'd do it.
What's your May? Walk. I'll tell you what my May is. Crickets. Okay. Nothing. Me hanging out with the house with the wife and children. What's your May?
Me hustling around the world trying to make a little cash.
Yeah, but if we get the little cash bit and the whole poor, pitiful me match girl bit, I want to know, like, where are you going? You're city hopping. You're Dusseldorf. Like, you are literally doing a world tour.
Well, the band is going to Ireland and Scotland first. We're doing a show in Glasgow and a show in Edinburgh.
That's awesome.
And then we're going up to Belfast, which I've never been to Belfast.
Neither have I.
Never been to Glasgow either. I've never been to Ireland, so Belfast would be cool. Never been to Glasgow, although I've been to Scotland.
Now, when you do that, is Paul Corella playing with you guys at all? Scottish musician Paul Corella?
Yes, he'll be opening up for us in all those shows.
Great.
And then we're going to, afterwards, we go to Offenbach, Germany, which is right near Frankfurt there. And that's the Rockwood Music Festival, which is a 3-day music event that Jason Manns puts together. We have a bunch of Supernatural related musicians performing.
So fun.
So fun. And then I come home for 10 days and then I go back to Basingstoke, UK, for a Comic-Con style convention, where the band will be playing. The band is coming back as well, and we're playing Friday night and Saturday night at that convention.
Basingstoke is not an area I've ever heard of.
Nor I.
Where is it?
I don't know. It's right there in England, but I don't know where.
Huh. Well, that'll be fun.
Yeah, and then a week off. Where Ruth and I will go visit her family, because she will be at Basingstoke. We'll visit her family, so back to Scotland.
Are you Basingstoked to do that convention?
Yeah, I'm so Basingstoked. And then after that, we're going to go to Germany, back to Germany, Dusseldorf, ending the May with a convention in Dusseldorf, the Purgatory Convention, and then finally coming home.
So so you'll be in the States for a week in there. So you figure 10 days, that's 2 days to recover. So then you'll have a good solid 7 to 8 days of United States time before we're going back on the road. But that's not a lot of time in 1 month to be in your home country.
I always, like you said, it's part of my bit. It's always tough.
Don't say anything important for us.
Thinking,
nope, still frozen. Nope, very glitchy. Yeah, nope. Got nothing.
How about now?
How about now? Yeah, try that.
It's always tough when I leave the country because being away from my daughter sucks. But I know that once we go, it's going to be great. And if anyone listening to this is from that area of the world, please come out and see the band because these will be epic shows, I'm sure of it.
They promise to Basingstoke your fire.
Yeah, I just got a note from Zoom that said your internet is unstable, so I'm going to blame myself.
Yeah, I'm going to... I did not get that note, so I think it's you.
Well, it's never fun when Zoom tells you you're not stable.
No, but what are you gonna do?
What do you got at 11? Busy guy.
My niece and her husband are in town, so I'm gonna take them to lunch.
Look at that.
My niece Molly and her husband Joey, we went to their wedding. Their wedding was right before everything shut down. It was February of 2020.
Wow.
And then March, everything went shut down. So
wow. A real COVID wedding.
Yeah. Well, no. It was right before COVID. I mean, literally, it was a massive wedding. Massively.
No, I'm saying COVID was out there.
I keep saying massively. That doesn't make sense in this context. It's a massive wedding, very well attended. no masks, and then right after that, everything fell apart.
But it could have been. I mean, COVID was out there.
Oh, yeah. No, and for all I know, maybe people got it at that event. I don't know. We did not. But it was, my point is, it wasn't, I don't think the world knew what it was headed for at that point. We didn't quite know how big it was all going to get.
Right. It got massively.
So it got massively. I kept saying massively, which is, I don't know why I was saying that. So my sons, it was fun. You know, kids are funny. I'm like, you know your cousin Molly? And the guy, no, I don't. Come on. We went to her wedding. Yeah, no, I wasn't really paying attention, Dad. I was 7. I'm like, all right, okay, fair. But Molly's great. She's Barbie's oldest child and Barbie's only daughter. She's great, great young lady. Really neat. Here's my story I always tell about Molly. When Molly was a baby, and Molly's the first baby I ever carried, because I didn't know any babies. Then Barbie had a baby. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'll hold a baby. I was holding a baby at my house over Christmas. Barbie lived in D.C. at the time, but they'd come home for Christmas, and I was holding the baby, walking around the living room, listening to this new album I had just purchased, Pearl Jam's 10.
No way.
Yeah. And I listened to the whole album in my mom and dad's living room, while holding Molly.
So she's 32 years old?
She's 30.
30.
So 30 and change. Wow. 30-something.
Wow. I was going to say, because that album came out in 91?
I think she's, I should ask Molly how old she is. She's, you know, anyway, she's around that age, 30, 31, something like that.
Yeah.
And and I always remember that, so I remember... You know, me being a sentimental dork, I was like, I think for her college graduation, I gave her that album and wrote why, and I'm sure she was like, okay, Pops, cool. But for me, it was interesting.
That's awesome. So you rocked her to bed with Even Flow, Rubber Pit, Butter
Player. And, that was it. She was calm, cool, and collected to the dulcet tones of Eddie Vedder.
Oh,
I think a lot of people say Eddie Vedder kind of calmed your baby, and I say no. It was the guitar work of Stone Gossard. You know what I mean? I always felt like that's what really got through to the baby.
Mike McCready, the other guitar.
It might have been Mike, but I feel like was Jeff a part of it? Yeah.
Yeah.
But
sure.
I feel like really Stone. Stone did the heavy lifting.
Stone did it. That's awesome. That's really awesome. Well, as a big Pearl Jam fan, that makes me appreciate Molly that much more.
Pearl Jam 10.
You know, are you taking her out to a real expensive lunch?
The biggest, most expensive, massively lunch I can find. no, I'm going to a place that Machete recommended because I was drawing a blank. And we're going to go someplace in Hollywood. Right now they're off at the La Brea Tar Pits.
Oh yeah.
And then they have a studio tour of Warner Brothers.
Oh, they're doing it.
Going around they're doing the whole tour thing, which is awesome. I love it.
It's awesome.
She's very organized. She's the polar opposite of JC and myself. She has like an itinerary and
you're organized, aren't you?
I'm organized in that I should say it differently. She's a planner. I'm not a planner. I don't have a plan laid out three weeks in advance, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, no, I'm not. I would say that there's many a time where JC and I arrive somewhere and we go, oh, shoot, we should have done this 3 weeks ago. You know what I mean? We should have called ahead or whatever. We drop the ball on that a lot. But Molly does not drop the ball on that. And she and Joey are just eager young go-getters who are really taking advantage of this fabulous weather, a little trip to Southern California. And don't forget, her brother lives here, too, Davidson.
Yeah, don't forget that. Come on.
I know you didn't forget him. I think the people.
This is for our listeners.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Davidson lives in Culver City. Come on, people.
Come on, everybody.
damn it, guys. You know Davidson lives here. He lives in Culver City. Anyway, so we also got to hang with the D-Meister General, and that was fun.
Oh, there you go.
It's been great. A little family week here in Southern California. Week.
Yeah. Bring your family home.
What?
Hug a family. Hug your family.
Hug a family. You heard me. I guess I should go because I got to take them to lunch. This is a podcast being cut short due to lunch.
Yeah, blame Molly, everybody.
Blame Molly and Joey.
Molly and Joey.
America's future. Molly and Joey.
Molly and Joey.
And, you know, the D. All right. Take care. Be well. Rob,
take care. Be well.
Fix your effing internet.
And, fix your internet, everybody. And hug a family.
And hug a family. I don't care if it's not your family. Just go hug them. Oh, although in this day and age, if you go in to hug a family that's not your family, you will be shot.
You'll be shot.
Just know that.
Yeah.
That's how it's going these days.
And on that note.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.